Hi, everyone. My name is Slaza, and I'm powerless over weed and cigarettes, and I'm happy to be here. I have 3 years of sobriety thanks to this program and to all the people in this program that have helped me. I just want to start off with to set an intention for this talk. I really didn't prepare anything in writing or anything, so I just ask that Great Spirit speaks through me and that that everyone hears something that is helpful to them. I'll start with, you know, the traditional, where I came from, what it was like, what happened, and what am I like now. So to begin with, I was born in the former Yugoslavia, now Serbia, and I came to the United States, to Chicago. I'm here in Chicago now, and I came here when I was 6 years old, about to be seven, and that was like probably the most, you know, traumatic or significant point in my life where my life started, things started getting hard for me that I remember. Before that, I think my life was pretty good. My grandmother was an alcoholic, and my grandparents raised me until I was six mostly. I mean, it was an extended family situation, but I had a really nice childhood up until I was six. And then we, you know, my family came to Chicago, to the South Side, and it was quite a traumatic change because I remember, you know, being very rural, in a rural setting, and being very free and able to run around in the hills and the mountains and with the cows and everything, you know. And it all changed when we moved to the South Side of Chicago. It was like the land of concrete. I thought my parents had made a terrible mistake, and I wanted to go home, and I wanted to go be with my grandparents. So I was just here with my mom, my sister, and my father. And then I didn't speak English, and then I had to learn how to speak English, and I went through the Chicago public school system, And I didn't really get into, I started smoking cigarettes as like, I mean, I remember being, cigarettes were always like something I thought was glamorous as a kid. So I remember being a kid and trying out smoking cigarettes when I was like very young with a cousin of mine back in Yugoslavia. So that was just times. I remember going to the store with a note for my sister to buy cigarettes. And then we would all smoke them as kids. But that was my first foray into, you know, addiction and smoking. And then when I got, in high school, I did not really drink or smoke. And then when I got to college, it was funny. It was like the first thing I did when I got to college was I went and bought a pack of cigarettes and I started smoking cigarettes. And then I started drinking like everybody else in college. And I don't remember it. I mean, I do remember not feeling well the next day, but it was just seemed part of the culture. It seemed like that was what you did to become part of. So I wanted to be American, you know. I always felt different, and I wanted to be American because my family didn't speak English. My mom and dad never really learned English, and we were like working class immigrants, and I wanted to fit in school. So I, went away to college, and so I drank and I smoked cigarettes, and then I first had my first pot experience when I was working as a prep cook at this place, and I went to U of I in Champaign-Urbana. It's called Trino's, and at the end of our shift, you know, I was working with these two guys, and they were like, "Hey, do you want to smoke weed, or I don't know, want to smoke?" And I was like, "Okay." And so I tried it, and I remember not getting high, but then like eating a brownie, and it tasted really good. And then I came home, and I told my boyfriend about it. I think I was a sophomore in college at that time, and he was really like a goody two shoe, and he did not like the fact that I smoked weed. But so I didn't try it again till later. And that's when I got really high with my friend Linda. She had like this little one hitter with her, and she like gave me some, and I thought it was like so fantastic. It made me feel amazing. I felt like it brought me back to when I was happy in my childhood before I came to the States. I felt that just magic, you know. And but I didn't have friends who had it regularly or smoked it regularly, so I just continued with just drinking alcohol. And then when I went to graduate school, is when I met a friend who could get it regularly. And that's when I started smoking it a lot more. But he still controlled it. And then he ended up leaving school. And then I met another one of his friends. And then she was ahead, you know. And so then with her, we smoked every day, and we got it. We started hanging out with somebody that could get it. It was still illegal back then. But we were very functional weed heads. Like we would smoke, and the weed back in, this is in like 90s, early 90s. It was not like the weed is nowadays. But anyway, so we were just like smoke, but we would go on with our life. It wasn't like we were sitting on the couch all day, which is how, and so from that point on, I started smoking every day, wake and bake. Like that was my main thing. Like I loved to smoke in the morning with coffee. And that just continued for like 29 years. When I finally got in the program and I calculated, it was like 29 years. And it was like, it was rarely that I didn't get high. It was rarely that I didn't get high. And it just seemed to work for me until it just stopped working for me, in the sense that I started getting like this low grade, like bringing it up to date, right? I started getting like this low grade level of anxiety and depression. And I didn't know what it was. And I never thought that it was the weed. Like, I just thought that was just, you know, I never thought it was a problem until I started getting this like low grade level of anxiety and depression. And then there's this voice that came to me. I feel like it was my higher power, like just kind of like a very non-judgmental and non-emotional voice that would ask me questions about my weed smoking. Like, for example, when I was at home one time, and my cousin was over, and she got really drunk and got really confessional and was really bizarre. I remember thinking, I was like, well, what's the difference between her and, you know, and I came home and I was talking to my friend while we're smoking a spliff. I was saying like, well, I was just like, well, she got really drunk. It was so weird. And I'm like, well, there's, and then I was like, and then there's that voice in my head that said, well, what's the real difference between alcohol and weed? Like what you're doing now and what you viewed you know, saw your cousin do. Like that was just this voice in my head. And so it just started coming more and more, and I started making stupider and stupider decisions. Like things in my life started to get bad. Like I had problems with my reporting my doing my income tax returns, and then the IRS put a lien on my house. And then I had gotten a dog, and then I took the dog to a friend's house with me, my dog. who I probably, when I, when he was like, my, I've always wanted a dog. And so when I finally got to adopt my own dog, I was told him, I'm like, I got your back, Philip. His name is Philip. I'm like, I got your back, Philip. Like, nothing bad is going to happen to you. Like, I got you. Like, you had a hard life. You know, he was a rescue. I'm like, you had a hard life, but I got you now. And then when my friend invited me over one day, I took the dog over to sit in her backyard. Well, he, and I was high at the time, and he and my friend didn't even get high. It was like just me being high going over there, and he went inside her house instead of being in the backyard with us. He went inside her house and ate all this mice poisoning. So he was poisoned. And then we had, you know, and spent three days in the emergency room. So it was like all these things started happening to me that I felt like, and then I was like making poor decisions with my relationships, with like dating and stuff, like just really reckless decisions. And like it all, and then that voice in my head started thinking like, you know, you have a problem. And this was like, this was 2020. And then finally, and like, you know, COVID had happened, and then I was just smoking a lot, and you know, Illinois legalized weed that year, and then, or maybe it was 2021, I don't know, whatever. I was going to the dispensary, and then that weed was like next level. Like, I mean, I would smoke, and then I wouldn't even be able to get off the couch, and I just started to feel bad. Like, it just didn't feel good anymore, and I just realized I was having these issues. So I got in, so that's how it was. It got bad. I was depressed and didn't know what, it was just this vicious circle. Like, I didn't know what my problem was. But there was that voice telling me, like, maybe stop smoking. So I looked into the Marijuana Anonymous. I just Googled it because I was like, I need to stop this. You know what I mean? And then it would also, like, I'd go back from smoking. You know, there'd be periods of time I don't smoke cigarettes, and then I'd smoke again. And so I was just going on this, just this, like, merry-go-round of, like, one or the other or both. And then of, like, stopping and quitting. And then I just got into – I stopped, like, in March of 2021, I stopped smoking cigarettes. And then on April 12th, 2021, I – was my first clean day of not waking and baking and just giving up the weed. I smoked the last of my weed. I was never one of those people where it was like, I threw it away. No, I would never throw weed away. That was not ever an option. I was either going to, like, I was going to smoke the last of it and then start clean. And that's what I did. And then I got in the Zoom room. Thank God for Zoom at that time. I Googled Marijuana Anonymous. I knew about the 12-step program because I had tried Nicotine Anonymous a few years back, but I didn't stick with it. But I noticed, I knew there was, like, power there. Like, I knew there was, you know, that this was the way to go if you wanted to give something up. So I found Marijuana Anonymous. I started going to the Zoom meetings, and I was miserable. That first, I want to say the first, like, 90 days, I was miserable. I was going to withdrawal. I had anxiety. I was nervous. I was like, I remember one time I was like, speeding. I was late for something, speeding, and got a ticket, and just all this stuff. I was just on edge, you know, really on edge. But I knew that this was it. Like, I knew that I need, and then when I calculated that I had smoked weed, been living in the fog for 29 years of my life, I mean, that just blew my mind. You know, the math just, I couldn't deny it. You know, I couldn't, that was just so, and I was like, I got in the program. I didn't get a sponsor right away. I just went to the meetings and I just detoxed. And I didn't know what people were talking about. It just seemed all like this whole other world, you know, that I had no idea of what was going on, but I knew that I had, I knew I they had something that I wanted, which was like to be free and of this monkey on my back, you know. And I did not, I just needed to get, I just needed to go, I knew I just needed to go through the withdrawal and then do whatever they told me to do, whatever was, you know. I got the book, I got the workbook. I got a sponsor. I started doing the steps, and things started getting better. I mean, right away, things started getting better in the sense that I just had clarity about all my other issues. You know, it was like I just felt like, oh wow, I didn't know what a progressive illness it was, and I didn't know that all my other issues were caused by not taking responsibility for my life and being like, you know, an ostrich with my head in the sand. That's how I felt like whilst I was smoking weed towards the end, when it just, I just felt like I was just a total escape and I wasn't living life. And I, when I got in the program, it, I had, it felt like my entire, you know, like, I had to just clear, everything was a mess and upside down, and I had to start by one thing and one, you know, one thing at a time, the next step and the next step and the step, next step, clearing it up. And I did, and things got better. I, and then I made friends, you know, and then I realized I was a people pleaser, and I realized that I was like codependent. I had these codependent relationships, and I had relationships with people in my life that I really didn't, you know, that that I felt, you know, I was not discriminatory about who I let into my life, you know. And I just slowly started cleaning up my relationships, you know, and keeping people that that I cared about and that cared about me in, and those that I was just able to, you know, I realized, you know, just, I didn't, it didn't matter who I was with because I would just be high anyway, whether they were high or not. I smoked alone. Like, you know, sometimes I smoked with other people, but mostly it was just like, you know, I would make sure I wouldn't go anywhere without being high, you know, in advance. And so if, like, if there was weed somewhere, you know, that was just a plus. So I realized I was with people that it didn't, that I wasn't, I didn't really care about, or that weren't very nice. And I had relationships, my whole, most of my adult life, my relationships with, were with other weed smokers, right? And so, I don't know, I just started clearing that up. The program just gave me so much. It gave me a new life because, first of all, even though I always had, you know, growing up in nature, I always felt like I had God. I always, like, felt God was with me. But, you know, during my using time, I had pushed him away. I'd pushed God away. I'd pushed higher power away. And I just felt like higher power coming back, or, you know, me coming back to higher, to God, my, to having a relationship with God, to having a spiritual life, to having something, you know, bigger than me that wasn't just, and to not have to, just to hold the whole concept of, like, you don't have to know the how or the why, you just do the next step and the next step and the next step. It was just like picking up breadcrumbs, you know, that would eventually, just knowing and trusting that it's going to lead me to the, you know, that the right, to the right life, to the right path, to doing the right thing. Like, I just felt like I just got a, like a little, you know, guidebook, a little like cliff note version of, like, this is how we need to do life, you know. So that was really helpful. The program was just, and then the sense of, like, I didn't realize how alone and isolated I was until I got in the program. And there was all these people, and they were like, they, I, the best way for me to describe it is The program loved me unconditionally until I learned to love myself unconditionally. I think that's like, you know, in my early childhood, I had that unconditional love from my grandparents and from just being around nature. And then I felt like at one point, you know, when I first started smoking weed, I felt like the weed was like giving me that unconditional love again, but it wasn't the real thing. And coming into the program, it reminded me of what's important, and that's unconditional love. And then the fellowship, the people here in this program on the phone lines, in talking to, I've made friends with people in the program that are my close friends, and, you know, we talk about things, and they give me unconditional love, and I give them unconditional love back, and it's non-judgmental, and it's revolutionary, because it's not something that we get in the greater society at large, you know, so it's something that it upends everything we've been taught about how things are supposed to work. In the world, as far as like everybody's competitive and dog eat dog, and then like this lack mentality. And for me, the program has brought me like a sense of abundance, a sense of like what I do, what I think matters, and that's how I'm creating my own reality by the words and the thoughts I think. So it's just, and then it's given me a sense of like discipline, right? There's a program I have to work, you know. I don't ever want to go back to those 29 years of when I was just lost. I just felt like I was, you know, this like, you know, piece of paper or a sheet of paper in the wind, you know, whatever direction the wind blows, that's where I would go. I had no mooring, no grounding. And I think that's what the program is giving me, is just a foundation of unconditional love, not feeling alone, having a sense of community, having people to call, not feeling isolated, having tools in my toolbox. I have tools now that I use. You know, I always used to journal, and I got away from that. So now I'm back to I journal. I call people when things are bad for me, when I'm going through a hard time. I call people. I get in on a meeting. I go to a meeting. It's a whole new world, and not everything is perfect, but it's like manageable in the sense that I know what I need to do, my part, and then higher power will do their part. And I know I need to be honest. I need to be accountable to myself, to my word. You know, my word means something to me again. You know, all those times I quit and then smoked again, and, you know, I was just lying to myself, and it's not, I just realized if you lie to yourself, you've got, you know, game over. You're not going to go anywhere from there. So now I can tell the truth, and I have integrity about my word means something to myself. I'm just building up my self-esteem, again. And I think I had a good self-esteem when I was a child. So I'm like building that up, and I'm giving myself unconditional love, and I'm giving the people around me unconditional love. And since then I've rescued a second dog, and my other dog turned out to be fine after the 2-3 days in the emergency room. And now I have like these two dogs that I take care of, and you know, the three of us are our own little family, and I don't have to live by some other like for the longest time, I felt like I had to, like, I was a disappointment because I didn't have traditional, like a traditional family or traditional life. Like, and I was just like, I can just make up my own. Like, I don't need, whatever's gonna work for me as long as I'm not hurting anybody. Like, I don't need to live by anybody else's standards or, requirements. And I could just make my own life. I can be my own trailblazer. And I feel like also I have the program that, I have a sponsor that loves me unconditionally. I check in with him weekly. I've worked the steps. I've gone up to step six. I've stalled at step six, but I'm gonna finish the steps. And yeah, it's been good. I don't know. I forgot to set my timer, so I don't know. I think Dad talked about what was I like and what happened, and what am I like now. And yeah, I listened when I got in the program. I listened to these speaker tapes. I listened because it just gave me strength. It gave me hope. I heard these people and they sounded amazing. Like, their stories were inspirational, and I hope I've been able to inspire somebody else to just stick with it. Don't give up. It's never too late. And also, like, the program, like, at the beginning of the program when I got in, I used to be so sad about, like, why I didn't come in sooner and have regrets, but I think everything just made me who I am today, and I never thought it would happen, but I really don't have any regrets about anything. I'm just accepting of, like, who I am, and those are my experiences. That's how I experience life. That's how, the weed was something there for me to deal with the pain of living, with the pain of, not having healthy relationships, the pain of, like, trying to, just trying to feel good, trying to feel better. But it just stopped working. And now I try not to procrastinate. I try not to people please. I have boundaries. I set boundaries for myself. I say what I feel comfortable about. I used to overgive, and then feel icky about it. And I don't do that anymore. I just give what feels comfortable to me. I give when, I only give if I'm not expecting anything in return, if I'm happy with not giving something in return. I have a morning routine. Every morning I send love. I wake up and I set the intention, like how I used to do my wake and bake. Now I set, I was like, I needed to feel good in the morning right away, and that's why I wake and bake. But now, for the longest time, I used to wake up and have, like, critical thoughts, but now I have this routine where I lay in bed when I wake up, and I send love and blessings to the people in my life. I literally say, like, God, I send so-and-so love and blessings. I send my mom love and blessings, and even to people that, have hurt me, and or I might be have, especially to those that I have resentment towards. I send them love and blessings. And then when I go and walk my two dogs, I bring some bird seed for the pigeons every morning, and I feed them. So I feel like I give a human service. Service is an important part of my recovery, even though I'm not doing much service. At one point I did have, like, I hosted some meetings and whatnot, but I tutor a kindergartner and reading throughout the school year. It's my second year doing that, and that's thanks to the program. I do feel like service is an important part to give back to the community and society, as much as you can, whatever feels good, not too much, I have to make sure I do what's right for me. I check in with myself. I don't know if I forgot to set the timer. So I think that's how it was, and I'm gonna just continue. I'm just gonna continue until I'm doing all my steps, and continue checking in with my sponsor. And I hope I'm able to. I hope that my statement was helpful to somebody else. And thank you so much for asking me to speak. And this program is amazing. It was life changing for me. It helped me so much. I mean, I like myself now, and that's big. With that, I will finish.